The Lord be with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. It is a beautiful morning outside. So today, I want to do two things. One of them is to illuminate the passage of Scripture that we've been given today, which is Romans 2. And the other is to offer you a way of reading Scripture. So the way of reading Scripture that I'm going to offer you we'll use to look at Romans 2. And the way of reading Scripture that I want to give to you is reading canonically. The word canonically is related to the word canon, which is a fancy word for Scripture, for the Bible. The word canon has implications for how we read Scripture, because it makes us think of Scripture in terms of a whole. It's a coherent whole. So when we read canonically, we're not reading one section of Scripture independently from another, as if this has meaning apart from the rest of the Bible, but every passage is related to other passages. So a friend of mine uses the phrase canonical echoes to talk about reading in this way. She says that one part of Scripture will call out, and another part of Scripture will kind of echo a response. There's resonance between different parts of Scripture. They say the same things, but maybe in harmony with each other, instead of in either a single voice or totally different voices. So today I want to invite us to kind of put on our canonical echo ears and listen for some of this resonance. So listen with me to the word of the Lord as it comes to us from Paul's epistle to the Romans. Therefore, you have no excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself because you, the judge, are doing the very same things. You say, we know that God's judgment on those who do such things is in accordance with truth. Do you imagine, whoever you are, that when you judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not realize that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But by your hard and impenitent hearts, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. For he will repay according to each one's deeds. To those who by patiently doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. While for those who are self-seeking and obey not the truth but wickedness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be anguish and distress for everyone who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality. All who have sinned apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, but all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous in God's sight, but the doers of the law who will be justified. When Gentiles who do not possess the law do instinctively what the law requires, they are a law to themselves. They show that what the law requires is written on their hearts, to which their own conscience also bears witness. And their conflicting thoughts will accuse or perhaps excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God, through Jesus Christ, will judge the secret thoughts of all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So if you were here at the gathering last night, you heard Trygvi talk about this passage and about God's judgment and God's justice for those sins that break the goodness of God's creation. But there's a hope in this passage, too. There's a hope. that God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. There's a hope of glory and honor and peace. So as I was thinking about that, it was actually the phrase anguish and distress that caught my attention. That was the phrase that for me was the canonical echo. 2 summers ago, I memorized Psalm 116, and it has that same phrase in it, just switched. I suffered distress and anguish. So as I was thinking about Romans 2, I thought, what is the connection here with that phrase, anguish and distress, distress and anguish? It was kind of like a pin holding these two passages together. And when I followed that thread, it blossomed into a whole understanding of Romans 2 that was influenced by Psalm 116. So Psalm 116 is a psalm of thanksgiving to God for healing the psalmist after an illness. Now, it may have been a physical illness for the psalmist, but I think there's also a soul sickness, a sin sickness that we suffer when we exchange the truth about God for a lie, when our minds are darkened. And so I think as we repent in God's kindness, we are also healed of this sickness, and we can offer the same thanksgiving that the psalmist offers. So listen now with me to Psalm 116 and see if you can hear the resonance between Romans and the psalm. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. I am your servant, O Lord. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Do you hear that resonance? There's an explicit resonance between anguish and distress and anguish and distress. But the whole of the psalm is telling us what will result if we accept the kindness of the Lord that is meant to lead us to repentance. There is glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. Return, O soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. We are meant to be at peace, to walk before the Lord in the land of the living, to, as Trigvi said, return. Repentance is a turning. As we repent of the evil deeds and cry out to the Lord, oh Lord, I pray, save my life. The Lord listens and he hears and invites us into a great meadow where we are invited to walk before him as those who are alive, full of glory and honor and peace. So I invite you this week, as you read Scripture, to listen for those canonical echoes. Where, as you read, do you hear Scripture calling out to Scripture, deep calling out to deep? What thread can you follow to allow a whole world to blossom open and invite you into a deeper understanding of Scripture? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the deep well of living water that you have given us in Jesus Christ and in your word. There are inexhaustible riches here. We ask you to be present to us as we read Scripture in small groups or on our own, or as we listen to the word proclaimed in our churches. Let Scripture open up a whole world to us of understanding and of life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.